Okay, it is Monday, May 8th, 2020, and this is the regular town council meeting for the town of Curry Beach. We've called the meeting to order. John, would you please give us the invocation?
Sir, please join me in prayer. God, we ask for your guidance and direction as we come together to meet today. Grant us the strength to manage the challenges ahead and the wisdom to identify these as opportunities as we strive to serve the residents of Curry Beach. As we make decisions on their behalf, grant us the gift of an open mind, the willingness to learn, the humility to accept the ideas of others. Please help us to recognize diversity as a blessing and let unity be our strength. Amen.
Amen. Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Approval of the consent agenda items. Gentlemen, as you read down through the consent agenda items, are there any questions or changes you wish to make to the consent agenda?
Make a motion we approve as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so that takes care of the regular. So let's go to the adoption of the agenda. Do we have any recommended changes to the agenda?
Yes, I'd like to add 9.3 to new business. The hurricane plan and the hurricane communication meeting. Since I'm sorry I didn't get that to Beth in time, but we need to get those scheduled tonight.
Okay, 9.3 hurricane. Anything else, gentlemen?
Make a motion to accept the agenda with the addition to new business 9.3.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We have no presentations this evening. At least none I'm aware of. Do you have any presentations, Mandy?
Just under department head items, but nothing specific.
Okay. Committee business. Well, we have not had many committees meeting, but the community center has not met. I believe they're actually looking at...
I just got an email that canceled the barbecue for August.
I was going to mention, it looks they're discussing canceling the barbecue based on the pandemic.
Correct. I just got the email. They have canceled the barbecue in August, and we'll continue to hold up the meeting. So at least we'll...
Okay. People may wonder why you're canceling something in August. I will tell you that is a significantly... It requires a bunch of good planning to make it all come together the way it does with the ladies. And a lot of it is volunteered work and volunteered product. So that's unfortunate. It's going to be the first time in quite a few years that we will not have that barbecue, but I guess we'll all look forward to it next year. Marketing committee. The marketing committee has not met, but I have talked to Kim Hoffman, the TDA CEO, and we have talked with Debbie Elliott, who is our chairman of our committee, and they are looking at a single phase approach to reopening the area. The reason for that is there's a significant reduction in the available money due to ROT not being available. Therefore, there's not significant money in each town to have an individual campaign. So that will be coming forward. So I just wanted to make you aware that was going on. Question?
Yeah, so I'm sort of with Joe on this. So what is she exactly saying?
Yeah, if we're not spending money right now, why are they short of money?
When we know we're going into phase two and they are opening and we do wish to open up, we would have a total of somewhere in the area of about $40,000. You can't buy too much with that.
Oh,
Well, I'm fine with that, actually.
Okay.
You guys know my position about the whole marketing thing.
Fact.
Anyway,
exactly.
But, so they have an approved budget from last year, because they're still operating under last year's budget, right?
Yes.
And she's not bringing a new budget based on their projections yet because of what's happened?
They are looking at the new budget, and that's what they're expecting to do, because
okay.
they are at least 35% down.
Okay.
So, and we do have to follow the law with how we use that ROT.
No, I understand. I just wanted to make sure I understand where they were. So basically, she's holding that there'll be a presentation to council before they do anything.
There will be a presentation.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Shoreline access and beach protection. Okay. Planning and zoning. Chairman Craig Galbraith.
Thank you. Craig Galbraith, Chair of the Planning and Zoning Commission. You've got two items before you, two major items that we've been working on for several months that we're bringing before you. The first item is approval of a text amendment to Chapter 15. Before I get started on this, this is a Chapter 15 change, so this will require a public hearing. So our recommendation, obviously, is that you put this to public hearing. This really came from a discussion that we had several months ago regarding the original language in our sign ordinance regarding political signs. And our P&Z attorney, Mr. Eldridge, pointed out there have been a number of court hearings and court decisions, Supreme Court decisions, that basically restricts local government from restricting the content of signs. And when you have political signs, that represents content. So what this represents before you is some rewording of this, a relatively minor rewording. And again, I'm sure you have this in front of you as to what the rewording is. To change it, remove the content components of political signs and just emphasize the temporary signage component for it. So the recommendation of PMZ is that you approve this and put it to a public hearing.
So, Mandy or Ben, this one wasn't linked in the agenda, so how do we find this one?
It is. It's at the bottom of the list, ordinance 15.06.0.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Number two.
It's just where it was, okay. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Except it doesn't have the cool highlighting that you have, unless I'm doing something wrong, which I may.
This was, this was precipitated by that phone call on.
It was precipitated by a phone call to John, I believe, and John came before the PNC to address this particular issue.
Yeah. I didn't have any problem with that. I was curious as to how we came up with 90 days.
90 days is somewhat of a standard that you see in a lot of cities regarding temporary signs.
Okay.
And one of the things we wanted to be concerned about is that when you wrote this ordinance that you didn't have somebody take it down for one day and then put it back up for another 90 days. And so we have statements in there that's a 90-day within a kind of a rolling one-year period.
Okay, so that's the duration of when you should have those signs visible.
We felt that anything, and this again is standard, anything longer than 90 days is not a temporary sign.
I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I was thinking about when we have to take them down. John, when do we have to take them down after election? 30 days?
Yes.
That's the county requirement, right?
That's county.
Is that ours or county?
Our ordinance is 30 days.
Right.
So we can still have the 90 days plus the 30 days, because
well,
the 90 days is a cumulative.
Taking down, that's a public right one. This also would be on private.
Ah, okay. All right. That's a good point. Thank you.
So are real estate signs, just for interest, I don't really care, but are real estate signs temporary signs then under this now, John? Is that because there's houses that stay on sale for more than 90 days?
Ordinance
that deals with real estate. Okay, they're right. Separate. When someone tries to sell a house, okay.
Yeah. This really cleans up the content related to political signs.
This is all about political signs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's fine.
I didn't see any issues in it. I don't know if you guys have any other questions for Craig on this point. I thought it was
pretty straightforward.
And it's got to go to public hearings, so it's fine. Okay, so Mandy, how do we do public hearings with people can't come to town hall?
We're going to do a call-in number just like we
Okay, so you do a public hearing and it'll be online so they can review it? Okay.
So you should probably do it before the next...
Yeah.
Just the beginning of next council.
We'll probably be open, that's right. We'll probably be open to the public at that point, but we'll just have to limit the number of people that come in.
Right. Well, that, I mean, if it...
And we may have to ask people to, if they will come and speak, to sign up ahead or something.
Well, I'm just making sure we have the mechanism before we set the date, right? That's what I'm, as long as you guys know how we're going to do it, we can set the date, I think, and then you can communicate.
Yeah.
It sounds like you did.
Okay.
We got a month to work on.
Yeah, what's our June meeting?
Yeah.
June 15th. Just do it at 5:30, June 15th.
That's, I agree. I make a motion to public hearing for, is this the only one that requires a public hearing? I make a motion that we have the public hearing at 5:30 on June 15th for the proposed text amendments to Chapter 15, Article 40, Section 40.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
The second item is a proposed text amendment to Chapter 8. Again, being Chapter 8, this does not require a public hearing. This can be passed immediately. This was precipitated basically by our interest, and we've talked to come before council and mentioned this several times, probably the past year or so, that we've been working on a graffiti ordinance. Graffiti, when you read this, and you know, a fair amount of research that I've done, is that graffiti actually is the number one vandalism that damages property values throughout the United States. There are several studies on it. We don't really have a graffiti problem here in Curie Beach, so this is a preemptive type of issue right here. In terms of doing some research, in fact, I was on the city council for the city of Mission Viejo, count of about 100,000 people in South Orange County, California. And literally one night, one or a couple folks came through and probably put about 200 to 300 tags within our particular town. We never had any. We didn't have a graffiti ordinance. We couldn't really manage that process without any sort of a process in terms of how to clean it up or ask private parties to clean it up off their property and so forth. In terms of doing research, there's been several instances in North Carolina communities just in the last year where exactly the same thing has happened. Good example is the beach community, I forget which one, northern part of North Carolina, where somebody came in, they tagged a vacant building, for example, and it was right at the entrance to this particular town. Property owner wouldn't clean it up or anything like that, so there's a lot of concern about this. So this is a fairly simple ordinance right there. We put it in basically the nuisance category of Chapter 8, which, as you can see right here, is what is it? Weeds, weed growth, trash, garbage, refuse, debris, and then we're adding graffiti right there. In the process of doing this, we actually went through, because again, this particular section of Chapter 8 was written probably 15, 20 years ago or so forth. Again, Mr. Eldridge went through and said there were a lot of language in there that needed to be cleaned up, so you have a number of kind of cleanup aspects related to this. So even though it looks somewhat complicated, you have all these different sections right here. The first section is really the relatively short graffiti ordinance, and the rest is basically cleanup of the existing language that is in there.
And I see you defined a difference between graffiti and children's chalk. So,
yes. So we did a lot of research. We probably looked at 50 to 60 different ordinances that have been written. Some that we felt wouldn't kind of cut the mustard. So we wanted to make it as simple as possible. We wanted to make it more of a nuisance type of issue. We don't want to have a criminal component to it here. So we did that when we felt would be most appropriate to the town of Curie Beach, particularly since we don't have a problem right now. We just need something in place in case there is a problem.
So what? Okay. Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, Chief, do we have a penalty for this? Is this some type, is this a misdemeanor or?
Yeah, you have a state charge for property damage or depending on what it is.
So we don't have to define anything specific for it. We would have a play. We'd have something to charge an individual with.
Yes, sir.
If I could talk about, there's been some research, probably catch about 1% of the people that actually commit graffiti.
Yeah.
So there is the state law in terms of, that it becomes a misdemeanor, and there's fines, and there's restitution and all these type of things. So this isn't really dealing with that particular issue.
Right.
This is just trying to make sure that that folks clean it up in an appropriate amount of time so it doesn't damage the community.
Okay.
So
we're going to treat just like if somebody didn't mow their
exactly
lot if they don't clean up.
Or don't clean up the garbage or something like that, dump garbage on there. So it's a nuisance.
So I guess we decide if a personal property owner, so exception two says markings lawfully made on real personal property with the property owner's consent, which do not violate any provisions of the town code, including but not limited to the town sign regulations. So is it the building inspector that decides, but if a property owner paints on their house and a neighbor says it's graffiti, who has to make the call on what was graffiti or not? Is that you, John?
Yes, sir.
And so what guidance do you have on that? So if I go paint my house as the Partridge Family Bus today, which I threatened to do when previous councils wanted to have color codes in the historic district of town, who determines whether, since it's me doing it to my personal property, who determines whether that is graffiti or not? Because in the second section it says I have 15 days to fix it. So I just want to understand what we're doing when we do this. If a personal property owner does some weird paint job, not in an HOA, and their neighbor calls you, how does that play out?
That probably wouldn't be defined as graffiti here. When you look at this graffiti, and we have a list, and I don't have it in front of me.
You have a definition.
It's up there, I can read it to you.
I believe we have a definition of what graffiti is.
Yeah. Including but not limited to any inscription, slogan, drawing, painting, symbol, logo, name, character, or figure that is written, scripted, marked, etched, scratched, sprayed, drawn, painted, or engraved, or made in any other manner on tangible, public or private, real or personal property.
Right.
So
this is supposed to address without the permission. So graffiti is when somebody goes in without the permission and then does something on a house or
building. Well, no, I agree.
But
that's not exactly, that's why I'm asking the building inspector you how it plays out. If a neighbor complains about someone's property, and this could be their car, so if someone makes their car weird painted too, they can complain about their car. It's going to come to the building inspector. The building inspector might come to Mike, but how do you deal with that? Because I just want to understand what we're doing.
Yeah, if I could jump in, this is a discussion we have a lot, because also you would have not only that example right there, but for example, First Amendment rights, related to graffiti and all these sort of things. You also might, I'm just saying the sort of things that are get complicate this, not suggesting that makes what we're presenting inappropriate, but these are the complications that
you
get in graffiti ordinances. You also get the notion of what is artistic versus what is graffiti.
Exactly.
So you have graffiti art and all that sort of thing. So these are discussions. There are some graffiti ordinances that are 25 pages long, 30 pages long, that try to address some of those issues. We didn't feel that would be appropriate for the town of Kerry Beach, and so we wanted to have a little bit of flexibility right there. But what we're really concentrating on is if somebody comes through and tags, a property.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a sign ordinance, so that would cover any sort of commercial property that would, because the sign ordinance prohibits people from putting commercial language, let's say, on the side of their building right now. So that's already covered within the existing sign ordinances. So this is really addressing the tagging process of graffiti. There's always going to be the gray areas when a graffiti ordinance. Yeah. You really can't get around that.
Thinking along the lines of what David had mentioned, on here, painting seems to be, at least the way I interpret it, not necessarily the color, but if you make a painting of something inappropriate, which really gets you into a different discussion, what's inappropriate to me may not be inappropriate to you.
That's what I don't understand.
I should point out, too, is because you have different levels, and we believe there's a state ordinance regarding this, is that what about pornographic? For example, in our proposal, we're allowing a 15-day window by which somebody has to clean it up. I mean, obviously, some graffiti can be very, very offensive. I mean, it can be racist. You could have, pornographic sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
And, rather than try to address that within our particular thing, I believe there is a state law that allows a quicker remediation of those type of things, too. But again, you get into the same discussion. Well, what's offensive? What's pornographic?
I don't have a problem with someone else doing it in someone's property. I think the town should regulate that, right? They're trespassing on private property, and then they're damaging private property. I'm all for that. I just want to understand what number two in your exceptions mean, right? So number two says they're lawfully made with the property owner's consent. And so as long as they don't violate provisions of the town code. When we make all these changes, did the town code change to what that means, right? So right now, except in a homeowners association, there are no regulations on how you paint your house. And the building inspector disagrees. So
there must be. There's not.
There's not, right. So right now, if you're not in a homeowners association, which has separate regulations, you can paint your house 15 colors, and if you like it and your wife or husband likes it, that's what color your house is until you change it. And your neighbors can get over it because it's your house. Are there any changes? Because this, you know, this is the main change, but then you change all these others for your consistency, which I understand. That's exactly what you should do in P&Z. Are there changes to that in the non-homeowner regulated housing areas?
No. And
okay.
Just
that was my question.
Not that I know what you're trying to get at. And just to come back to the issue there, the exception to this is, in fact, and what you described there would be an exception and wouldn't be covered under the graffiti process, because if the homeowner wants to do it, it is with the homeowner's permission, obviously. And so that would be considered an exception as long as it didn't violate one of the other town
laws. Okay, that's all
that. You're right, that's separate law,
right,
about impacting other people's property values. And yeah, so that is separate law.
Right.
But okay. Any.
Sorry to take us down a rat hole.
No, that's okay. It's a good rat hole, actually.
Believe me, it's a rat hole that we spent a lot of time talking about. And that's why we ended up with a relatively simple, straightforward, but also using language that you see in a lot of well written graffiti ordinances.
Any other questions for Craig on this?
No.
Okay, we've concluded the discussion. So, what's the will of council?
We need to approve each one of these individually.
Or we just do it as a whole?
I would say individually.
Yeah, that's where all of those. I make a motion we approve the change to ordinance 8.02.015 to add graffiti as a prohibited activity.
Is it okay? Second.
Any other discussion? Questions here, gentlemen? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Do we have to do anything on the consistency statement with these?
The consistency statement would be for the...
just for 15.
Yeah,
okay.
Did your vote cover all of the changes?
We have to do 20 next. We have to do them one at a time. That's
right.
How they asked for it.
Yeah, the consistency statement is not relevant to Chapter 8.
All right, very good.
If you pull up the next one, Mandy. All I did is add 0215, which we just approved, to 0220. So I make a motion we approve ordinance 8.02.020 to incorporate 8.02.015 into the amendment.
Sorry.
You guys see that? Okay.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. So we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next one.
The next one is much longer, so I'll let Craig explain that one, because I took a lot of language out. Notice to abate?
This is just a recommendation of the town attorney, too. And by the way, this is not just applying to the graffiti component. This is applying to all the elements.
Right.
So it's just to clean up the language, you know, according to court cases and proper language and so forth.
Okay.
So it says owner, occupant, or person in possession of the subject premises. John, when you have rentals, do you notify both? Just because.
Definitely, I go straight to the property owner.
Okay, so you go straight to the property owner. Okay, that's what I was hoping, because rentals are going to fix the outside of the house, most likely.
I'll make contact with them in person.
Okay.
Going straight to
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have before us 8.02.030 notice of abate, notice to abate, excuse me.
Yep.
Any questions on that?
And is that certified mail, John, or do you try to contact?
When it comes to enforcement, yes, sir, certified mail first.
Certified mail, so that's where the date comes from, for the receipt? Okay, thank you. I make a motion we approve 8.02.030 notice to abate for the changes proposed.
Second.
We have a motion second, so all in favor?
Aye.
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 Next. We have 802.040, abatement by town upon failure of owner. Anything you want to add on this one, Craig, or make us aware?
It's the same thing. It's just to clean up the language that's appropriate. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the modern language for abatement of nuisances.
So all these language changes are from Jim?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Any questions on the language, gentlemen?
No.
Make a motion we approve 8.02.040 as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next is 802.050, same costs charged to owner. So this is just language cleanup as well, right?
It's language cleanup, and we wanted to make sure that this is a civil issue and not a criminal issue. And that was a discussion we had too. And again, you find some towns make it a criminal, the ordinance, criminal mm-hmm. impact. And we felt it was inappropriate to do that. And so the recommendation of Mr. Elder is that it becomes a civil issue, and strictly a civil issue. So the language in here is to codify that.
Yeah. So we've always treated it as a civil issue, right, John?
Yes, sir.
Any of this nuisance stuff, so.
John, okay. We ever got into this? Because this is painting houses, and I'm concerned about this one. I don't know the right answer, but I'm asking the question. So if we don't match their paint and then charge them, and then they don't like that, what does this get us into? If we abate it by painting over it and they don't like the paint and then we charge them for it. Hopefully we
By the way, this isn't now just applying to graffiti. This also applies to trash. So it's the same issue if somebody dumped the trash on their front yard, they didn't abate it, going in to clean up.
Yeah, or they let the grass get too high. Or they can't argue we picked up their trash bad. They can't argue you messed up my house when you painted it. This is a specifically different issue because you don't get the town in the same problem when you pick up trash or when you cut grass as you do when you paint their house and whoever we have do it, slop paint around. We get in this argument over the quality of the paint and all kinds of other stuff. So that's why I'm asking about this one. Hopefully we never get there. But
It's important to realize, too, that this only is enacted if you don't have a conscientious property owner. They're given, 15 days to clean it up. This is for somebody that has not cleaned it up in 15 days.
Yeah, I understand who this is. Yeah. The town still got the same problem. If John hires a contractor at the town's expense, the contractor goes on the private property legally by this authority, and then paints a wall that is either not the same matching color or whatever, and the property owner finally gets around to being, because they're already going to be mad at the town when this starts, right? So the property owner is already looking for what to do to the town. That I'm just asking how this plays out, because this one I can see becoming a mess, and I want to understand what the mess becomes, right?
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to imagine us ever being in this situation.
Good, me too.
If we are, it's probably in a house that's already derelict, and it's really not going to make a difference.
Okay.
But that question is probably better fitted for the attorney to answer.
Well, yeah. I would agree with that from my particular point of view. If we make the base white and he wants it pink, he should have painted it pink within the 50 days, 15 days.
Right.
If he didn't paint it within the 15 days, it should fall on us. We'll pick a color. And you get to pay for that color and you get to pay for the pink. Andy, is there a liability for us if we take that point of view?
Actually, what would happen is once you had gotten the legal entrance into the building and you have inspected, you've notified the owner has a legal obligation to then comply with the order of the tenant. In the order, once it is obtained, you say you are to paint this or remove this paint or whatever the problem is within 15 days. And the town will paint it white unless you desire to have it painted some other color.
So in the order
of your expense.
Okay.
Okay.
Something of that nature.
Yep.
So in the order, you would write it in the order of where we get that far?
That's right.
Okay. That's what I was looking for, because I don't understand.
And this does go to a court order, so this all comes out of a court order process.
Okay. So okay. Then we would put that in the court order. Fine. Then I feel more comfortable.
All right. Very good. Any other questions on this particular one?
No. I'll let Joe.
I make a motion we pass 08, 02, 050, same cost charge to the owner.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, next.
Moving on to 60.
Yep, we're going on to 60.
Craig?
Unpaid charges become lien.
Again, this is the standard language that, that you have in these type of things.
Yeah, that was pretty straightforward.
This is all language by Mr. Elder.
Yep.
Make a motion we pass Chapter 8, Article 02.060, unpaid charges become a lien.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And the final one, additional remedies. Anything, any comments for this one?
No, again, the same language.
Pretty straightforward.
Very typical. The only issue there was what is the fine, $25, $50. Again, what we found with many comparable communities in North Carolina is they have a $25 fine.
And that's daily, so yeah. Just keep building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It'll grow fast.
Make a motion to pass Chapter 8, Article 02.070, additional remedies.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
One last item I should come to. If you notice under 2 there, you have light pollution ordinance and dark sky regulations. That shouldn't be up there. I mean, there's no, that's, we're not proposing anything right now. But I did want to mention that we are looking at that. We've had a couple different complaints by folks at the Planning and Zoning, as well as many experiences by the Planning and Zoning members and so forth, about, again, neighbors that have their security lights shining for, you know, days on end, shining into the, you know, the bedrooms of people and so forth. Basically, that's what's called light pollution, same thing as noise pollution. And nobody really cares what people do on their property as long as it doesn't affect the neighbor's property and so forth. So many communities now have what's called a light pollution ordinance or dark sky regulation. We are working on that. And, you know, again, we have had a few people complain about their neighbors. My own personal experience is that, you know, right across in our backyard, we have a neighbor that shows up maybe 3 or 4 times a year. Sometimes they leave their security lights on, and it goes 2 or 3 months, and my daughter can't sleep. So, you know, you do have this type of problem here. So the just wanted to kind of pass it before the council that we are looking at that. We want to make sure that we have kind of your general approval to go ahead and look at this. And if you do have that approval, then, you know, we'll probably get something to you maybe in the next couple months. That would be a light abatement ordinance. Again, it would be a nuisance sort of thing. It would probably be under the same sort of thing as what we just talked about with the graffiti. Try to make it very reasonable. Obviously, we understand the nature of Curie Beach and the friendly community and stuff like that, and not make it onerous or anything like that. But just wanted to get your kind of acknowledgement that we are looking at that so we don't go down, get in.
That'll be very interesting. So you're talking about just homeowner type light? You're talking about business light? You're
business
talking
light,
about utility lights?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we did actually talk about this with the approval process of the rental for the golf carts. Remember, we had a light there.
Right.
Right now, we don't have any mechanism other than in a special kind of use permit category to be able to regulate the light like that, which is exactly what we did with the golf cart. So again, the recommendation is we have kind of a general ordinance regarding light and light trespass and these sort of things that would be appropriate for Curie Beach.
So as you look at that, I would assume just like with the sound ordinance, you'll have specific measurable lumens at the property line or something like that.
We started off with the idea that we could use a reasonable man perspective, that a reasonable man would say that. Attorney came back, that was said, no, you can't do that. There's been court cases, and you have to have a measurement process.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure it's measurable.
Interesting security lights, too. When the palm trees go one way or the other, they all flash off and on all times.
I'd be interesting to see what you're talking about. But we did, before we spent a lot more time and effort, we want to get the kind of consent of the council that we are looking at this issue.
Well, we'll see what you come up with, but it's going to be a tough crowd.
It is. And these sort of things are tough.
Thank you. No, you never shirk from it. I know you always, and you always get biased, Craig, so I'm cool.
Not always, but, you know.
For the most part.
But I surely appreciate the feedback and comments.
Appreciate the things you and the PNZ team do for us. It's a lot of time, a lot of effort, and I know there's really no remuneration for it other than personal satisfaction.
The satisfaction of being able to sleep at night without the light shining.
Yeah, there you go. Anything else, Craig?
Not on this, but I'm up next.
All right.
Next?
Yep.
Okay. Historic Preservation Commission. Just an update on this. Obviously, with COVID-19, we haven't met. We did meet this last month, or this month. But during the process, we had originally submitted or passed on to the council. The council officially submitted the report to the state. We got feedback from the state regarding the particular report. We had a virtual conference. Again, the conference, we only could have two members of the PNZ and Mr. Eldridge there because we couldn't have a quorum. Very good conference with the state regarding the report. The state also has as kind of a policy that they visit whenever there's a proposal for historic property, either historic property or a historic district. They actually visit that, but with COVID-19, they have a rule that they can't travel. So we actually did a virtual visit. I walked around the B1 district with my camera and or my phone and held it up. We had five members of the state on it. We had, again, Mr. Eldridge and myself. It turned out to be about a two-hour walk around the B1 district and a conversation afterwards. We did get the letter. I'm not sure if the letter has been passed on to you. Should point out that the conversation that we had, there were probably, I think, two strong recommendations from the state. One is that we needed to do a better job in defining exactly what we're talking about with the ambience of the downtown area. So, you know, we kind of set it as an idea that it's a 1950s, the 1970s beach community that represents the ambience. To be able to have design guidelines and a certificate of authority in terms of doing these sort of things, we need to have a better description of that. So that's our task right now, is to come up with a better description. And probably in the next day or two, I'm going to send all council members an email asking them to perhaps provide some input as to what you see is the defining elements of what we're trying to preserve in terms of the B1 district. And it's, so we're going to be working on that. Mr. Eldridge and I and one other member, we're going to try to have that with your input probably at our next meeting to incorporate that. In addition, there was a request that we identify all the buildings in the district. We only identified the older buildings, so we're going to clean that up also. Mm-hmm. They agreed that they would have an informal review of this, so we all agreed to that we would like to revise it. And this is the report, send it back up to the state, and they would provide us with some informal comments. Should point out that the state review is only advisory. It's not mandatory or anything like that. It's not required. I mean, it's required that you do it because that's within the state statutes that we do that, but they don't have any authority to say yay or nay or anything like that. So anyway, just to let you know that we're actively pursuing this. We will probably get back to you at the next meeting with our actual report and proposal. Now, the report itself is only part of it. Then, obviously, you have to have the design guidelines and the certificate of authority of COAs to be able to do that. And that's going to probably take expertise beyond what we have on PNZ to be able to do that. I think we have some very talented people on the PNZ, but to put down design guidelines related to architectural design and these type of things is probably beyond us. So, recommendation, I know that Mr. Whitley and I have talked about that, and he's been in attendance, is that we may have to hire a consultant to help us with that particular aspect of that, to help us with the design guidelines. And that was certainly recommended also by the state to be able to do that. So that's just an update. We're going to not have anything to you, I don't think, for your next meeting, but hopefully probably the meeting after that, just to bring you up to date.
Okay. Any questions on that, gentlemen, while we have Craig with us?
No. Great job, no. Craig.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
I'll look forward to the request.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay. get back to my agenda. Pedestrian committee?
Pedestrian committee did meet for our first meeting, just kind of get to know each other by conference call. Once we approve our minutes at next month, they approve their minutes at next month's meeting, then we will bring that back. The purpose and who the chair, vice chair, and all that is, all that will take care of. But they have to come back the next month and approve the meeting minutes from the meeting. That makes sense.
Okay.
That's what they have to tell me.
Okay. Was everybody in attendance? I'm just curious.
Yes, everybody was in attendance. Had a really lively talk. And our first thing we're going to try to do is a walkabout where you go, probably leave from here and walk some of the sidewalks and interchanges and put some things. Got some very, very talented people in that community.
Excellent. Look forward to what they're going to bring forward. Okay. Department head business. Or any other questions from council on anything?
Do we need to do the land use plan committee now?
Under Commissioner Ryan's.
Oh, sorry. Jumping ahead.
Department head business, administration.
Feels like two this year.
So, I don't know if you guys have a date in mind.
Let's do it the day of the meeting.
We normally do it mid-June. Is that it?
Mm-hmm. We have a council meeting on the 15th, which is a Monday.
That works. I think that works.
We do it that day.
12 o'clock, June 15th. We can get it all done that afternoon, right?
Well, no, because you have a public hearing also starting before the meeting, and I think there's a possibility of a public hearing from the budget as well. Is he going to do it on the 8th? Okay, never mind. But you do have a public hearing before your council meeting. I mean, so yes, you can do them on that day, but you might want to start a little earlier.
If we start at 12, we should be able to be finished by 5:30, right? I think.
Mm-hmm. There's 7, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we should be able to finish that.
And that doesn't shortcut it. That gives, at least 30 or 40 minutes of person, right?
Yeah, because generally the department heads have already heard it from the liaison, and it's really other people's comments.
I'm gonna hear it.
The other. So, okay, let's do it then.
Okay.
Do I need a motion for that?
Or is that a motion okay? For department
we do need head. A motion.
Yes.
Make a motion for department head evaluations June 15th at 12 noon.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Hope you all can make it.
So the next thing that I have on my list is the committee policy amendment. I worked with Jim to remove some language. We ran into it with HPC and PNC, where it talks about you can't add or be on another committee. Number 6 on page 1-3, the person may serve upon more than 3 committees at one time, nor serve as a chairperson of more than one committee. Excuse me, I can't talk. So we want to remove that statement because we are small and it's hard, it's difficult to get volunteers for certain things. And when we restrict it that they can't do anything else, I mean, it really kind of ties our hands too. Especially when they're kind of in the same context of what they're already doing. And then again on page 1-6 under membership number 2, we want to remove the member shall hold no other public office under the town government and shall be appointed by the town council.
Andy, are those two okay for board of adjustment? The first one I filed is the second one. I thought the board of adjustment had to be totally independent.
Well,
but if members can have another public office, I don't know that they are. So I thought that was why that was in there initially. Do you know why we want to change that?
That was Jim.
That was Jim that took it. I mean, he took the language out.
Because of the land use committee and the HPC, they also serve on P&amp;Z. So we're running into
issues with the parking.
But they're on board of adjustment?
They're not.
Yeah.
Board of Adjustments is the judiciary element.
Yeah, that's the one I'm asking Andy about. I think they're not allowed to be on another committee. No,
that's a quasi-judicial body.
Yeah. Right.
P&Z's not either, other than the HPC committee. If you're on a state board, you can't be on another committee, because we had to have someone step down. Or leave
we had
SLAP,
to do that because of our policy.
SLAP committee, yeah.
But that was our policy.
That was our policy.
I think, yeah. I think Board of Adjustments.
So you wanted to change the policy back.
We want to change it.
I don't know if I feel in favor of that.
I mean, we can exclude Board of Adjustments. We can have Jim change that, and I can bring it back to you.
Yeah, I think we should, because they could be ruling on.
Sure.
Right. On something that the committee they chair, other than that, has made a decision on. So we need to change
that's
that.
That's my issue with
we
it.
We can do that.
Board of Adjustments is regulated by the state.
Yeah, I think Mandy's point is you can have P&Z on other committees, and I'm fine with that one. It's really just the Board of Adjustment I'm a little concerned about, because they're the ones that rule on stuff that any committee can do, whatever. Because you go to Board of Adjustment, pretty much anything you like in Curie Beach, that's your first step. Really, I mean, you might try to come straight to council, and council could allow some things, but you might get sent to Board of Adjustment for more than just, typically it's housing stuff, right? Ordinance, but John or Andy, it could be anything, right? If council don't want to take it first, we could say you have to go through Board of Adjustment, right?
They can bring a case no matter what.
Right, yeah. So I just think it protects the town better to keep them totally independent. That's my opinion.
I think P&Z should be also. I don't think P&Z should serve on other committees other than the HPC, which is only there until we get approval for this, and then we would create another committee.
Right, but then we run into a problem with land use, too.
But not that committee?
You just got to write it so that they can be on ad hoc committees. Whatever. I just don't like that we deleted the requirement totally.
The land use planning committee is just going to be a temporary committee that hopefully, barring anything crazy happening in the next year, does not last longer than a year.
Right, but the problem that we ran into before was that they were supposed to be temporary committees and they lasted longer than a year.
The land use planning committee is not going to.
It could if they extend it out because of COVID.
Yeah, Mandy just wants our policy to be effective, right? Which I would, right? I just want the Board of Adjustment to have me on the excluded from year number two, that's where I'm at.
We have state mandated requirements for planning and zoning, for beach.
No, just
we don't.
Board of Adjustments
and planning and zoning.
And I don't think they necessarily violate the state requirements. I don't think.
I don't know.
Because I don't think Jim would have let her line this out if they did. But my
Jim
opinion
this
is.
Out. Jim did
that. That's right. Yeah. So I don't think it's necessarily a state requirement. What I think is it's one of those good idea requirements from my perspective of, okay, if Board of Adjustments ever has to rule on something from a committee, we know they're independent, and I just think we should keep it that way. I'm okay with the P&Z either way you are, Joe, but for Board of Adjustments, I just think they should be completely independent from all the committee stuff. And council and anything else on. It says no other public office under town government. So one of you guys can't be on Board of Adjustments either.
Not until you leave council.
That's right, until you leave council.
Okay. Now, Joseph.
When I leave council, I'm done.
Yeah. Joseph, you're the liaison.
But there have been some towns that appointed themselves to the Board of Adjustments.
I'm sure they have.
Yeah.
So it's obviously not a state
just
thing,
right,
but it's not the smart move to do, I don't think.
Okay, so Board of Adjustments, we're going to exclude them. What is your feeling as liaison for P&Z?
I don't want P&Z to serve on SLAP or any other committee. P&Z needs to be what it is, the HPC, until we make our determination which way we're going to go forward. And then the Land Use Plan Committee would be a temporary committee until the plan is finalized and submitted.
Well, you could write those in. So membership, you could say Board of Adjustments not allowed to be in any other, like number two says, and then you could say for the Planning and Zoning Committee, you can only be in these two.
Craig, do you support that?
I personally think planning and zoning and HPC are pretty close in terms of talents and requirements and skills. I'd hate to see it being excluded from the HPC. Land use also obviously is pretty close, but that would be a temporary. So whatever language that might allow P and Z, depending on what your decision would be, to serve on HPC and land use would be appropriate. I don't think there's any reason for planning and zoning to serve on other committees because it takes a lot of time and effort to serve on planning and zoning.
Yeah, and I
can and I think there's some bleed over sometimes in the past, and I don't think that's
happening. So I think Joe and I are looking for you guys, but our input is that number two needs to be restated, and Board of Adjustment has no other memberships, and P&Z only has memberships for the two committees that Joe said, HPC and land use.
Well, I'm okay with both of those points. John, you or Alan?
Yeah, I mean, rewrite it, send it back out, bring it back, or
It would have to be revised, brought back.
Yeah.
No motions, just direction.
Yeah. No, I would rather the attorney do it than us try to write it. That's better. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, let's get that changed. Board of Adjustments and Planning and Zoning as recommended.
Sorry, I didn't look at it earlier and send it to you, maybe.
That's okay.
Too much going on.
What else you got?
So just leave it as 10 committees. Or do you want it specifically those two?
The whole I want specifically those two.
Those two.
Don't think into this problem.
Because we're not holding
those two
committees.
I think specifically that's what it sounds like council's very good.
Land use and HPC.
The Board of Adjustments has no other.
And no other. Okay. That's all that I have.
Thank you, Mandy.
Okay, thank you, Mandy.
Sorry to send your reword.
That's okay.
Building Inspection Department. John.
Thanks. So quickly, got an update from our contractor at 1,004.5 Norfolk Fish Boulevard for the new access way. The pilots are in, they're set. He's awaiting the surveyor to come in and confirm their proper locations and elevations, and they should start framing over the next week and a half.
Excellent.
Okay.
Another thing I want to bring to your attention, some of you guys already know about it. I've got a problem child code enforcement issue in town. And the reason it's a problem is because I can't get up the property owner. It's been ongoing for over 3 years, and the property address is 205 Alabama. In case anybody's listening online that's familiar with 205 Alabama, we are actively trying to remedy the issue at that property. Just this past week, the police department was on site for, I believe there were some juveniles and maybe it was property damage or something. But long story short, the property is in bad disrepair. I can't even tell you how many certified letters I've sent to how many addresses for this property owner. I've also went as far as to try to contact the mortgage holder of the property with no success. I have made contact with the tax assessor. Taxes have been paid pretty up to date over the last 5 years.
Well, who's paying the taxes?
I've asked the tax assessor to please flag the property and make sure someone notifies me the next time they're paid so that I can find out who paid it and where they live. They've agreed to do that. I haven't heard anything yet. They've got unpaid water bills of over $5,000.
To the town?
To the town.
Wow.
So right
can
now.
Can we cut it off? Or what is cut off?
It has no power or water.
They have no power or water, okay.
I'm actively trying to fix the situation. Just don't really know where to proceed at this point. I've enlisted the town attorney's help due to what's going on right now with the virus. We can't really do anything in the courts. But after this past week, I felt like I needed to update town council and make sure the public knows that we are trying to fix that issue.
So, okay. Well, thank you for that, John. What is the normal process here, that you condemn the property if it's in bad shape? I mean, they could pay the taxes, but if the property is unlivable.
What we're going to do now is we're going to, by publication, let him know that we're going to apply for a magistrate's warrant to be able to go in and inspect the property. Then we will do it again with publication as to the results thereof. Giving him the proper time to come in and fix it, repair it. If he doesn't, then y'all will be passing the ordinance. We will be then condemning it proceeding in the legal manner to sell it.
Okay.
Sell it or destroy it?
Hmm?
Sell it or destroy it?
Yeah. Actually, we were planning on getting the work done, but then with this virus thing, the courts shut down. They weren't trying any cases, and matter of fact, today they shut the court down for sanitation. And
So, at any rate, at this point in time, the building is open. You can access all the doors. No doors will shut or lock, so I'm going to be meeting with the town attorney hopefully later this week to figure out a legal way for me to go over and board the property up at a minimum.
Yeah. Are there any public health hazards as far as you're on the site?
Not that I'm aware of.
That's true. Okay. But you haven't been inside yet.
Now there's some broken glass and you know, disrepair of the structure.
I think it's just going to get worse. Yeah. Okay. All right.
That's
thank you, John.
Changing our property values, but okay.
Yep.
Thanks for letting us know.
Yes, sir.
Finance Department.
Basically with some...
You want your slides out now?
So we'll start out with some just general information, just to let you know that the budget is in conformance with North Carolina general statutes. It's also in accordance with the local government budget and fiscal control act. Once we finish going through the proposed budget, we'll need to set a time for a public hearing. It's going to propose Monday, June 8th at 6 p.m., but again, we can kind of get back to that at the end of the presentation. Once this budget proposal is accepted by town council, it'll be available for inspection public on the town's website. Also, we'll have a copy here in the town clerk's office for anyone to come and review. And then finally, that the we do need either an approved budget or an interim budget passed by July 1st of 2020. So to continue on with some other general information, what you have in your agenda packet, there's really three components to the budget proposal. The first being the budget message, which summarizes the budget, provides key highlights, and identifies the significant differences between the budget and the current year budget. The next part is the draft budget ordinance that shows the budget of revenues and expenditures by funds, some information regarding property taxes, salaries, changes to the fee schedule, and some other legal requirements. And then finally is the draft fee schedule, which includes the fees to be charged by the town for services. Also say that there's all available for anyone that would like to review the detailed line item budget for each department, if anyone is interested in that. And that also, as we go through the budget, this was all based on information obtained at the council's annual retreat and at the budget work sessions held in April. So I'll kind of start with, and I don't know if anyone's following along, it's on slide 4 at this point. This actually shows the budget for fiscal year 21. The town is actually made up of 7 different funds. So the grand total budget for all funds is a little bit over $9 million. And the components are the general fund at about $5.7 million, water and sewer fund at $2.6 million, stormwater fund at $532,000, PAL bill fund at $110,000, federal asset forfeiture fund at $50,000, Sewer Expansion Reserve Fund at a little over $10,000, and Beach Protection Fund at a little over $8,000. In total, this budget is actually about $546,000 higher than the current year budget, but it really relates back to some specific things that we'll cover as we go through each fund's budget. So I thought I'd start with the general fund. But I have some highlights here, what I consider to be the highlights, or some people may consider them lowlights, I don't know. First is that there is no proposed tax rate increase or any general fund fee increases. The second item is that the budget does include a 1.6 cost of living adjustment and a 2.75% merit increase pool for full-time employees. Those also will be applicable to the Water and Sewer Fund and Stormwater Fund. We'll get to that point. The third highlight is the addition of one full-time position in the fire department. Fourth item is that their capital expenditures totaling approximately $90,000. Moving to slide six, the fifth item is there is debt service of about $714,000. This budget also includes a $5,000 transfer to the Beach Protection Fund, which we'll talk about later. And then overall, the general fund budget for being proposed for 2021 is about 2.5% greater than the original 2020 budget. So what I thought we'd move on to is just get an idea of the revenue associated with the general fund. So the pie chart on slide seven kind of shows the breakdown of revenue by major source. And I'll really just focus in initially on the top five. Your property taxes, sales tax, garbage and recycling fees, PDA funds.
Hold on just a second. Andy, on the presentation of council PowerPoint, if anyone's out there looking, the general fund revenue budget doesn't show the breakdowns. So I don't know, should we be looking at just the presentation of council versus the PowerPoint in the packet?
I'm in the packet. I'm in the...
Okay. I'll bring it to you. Look, and Joe sees it too, so I did something wrong with it. I just went to the one that says PowerPoint.
Open the one above it, budget presentation to council.
Okay. Should have that right, so okay.
Got to go to slide seven.
I'm trying to go to slide seven. Okay, never mind. Keep going. I can see it. Someone out there might not be able to see it.
I will say I'm on the internet showing this.
You're showing yours? Okay, yeah. Good. I'm sorry to interrupt, Arlo.
No, that's okay.
Make sure anyone outside can see it, since I didn't think I could.
So on slide seven, showing the general fund revenue budget, the top five items, property taxes, sales tax, garbage recycling fees, TDA funds, and franchise and utility taxes. Those five items account for 92% of the revenue for the fund. So, and in particular, property taxes at about 55%. So just in regard to property taxes, I just thought I'd mention that in total, it's a budget of about $3.1 million. That's based on the estimated tax base for the town that we received from the New Hanover County Tax Department, and that the last estimate was about $924 million. So that's actually about a $20,650,000 increase over last year's estimated tax base. It's just based on home improvements and other activity. So that actual increase in the tax base is about another $70,000 in revenue. So,
John, does that track with you $20 million of value?
It comes from a tax assessment.
I know, but
I mean, includes,
since they didn't reevaluate property, that means it should be building permits.
It's based off the building permits, what they put on the cost of construction, yes, sir.
Okay, wow. Does that feel heavy or no? Okay.
But last year it was about, you know, over $10 million was the increase. So this year it's more than twice. But it's also personal property that they're estimating, motor vehicles. It's, again, the major part of it is real estate, but there are some other components.
Okay. And it just doesn't feel like it was twice last year from 2018 to 2019. That's why I'm looking at the building inspector.
Yeah,
Okay.
And that's their estimate at this point in time.
I just want to make sure they didn't lead us down the path and then at the end, sorry, we were wrong halfway through our budget year.
Right.
Okay.
And then finally, with property taxes, the estimated collection rate is 99%, which has been great. We'll hope that continues, but that was factored into the revenue determination also.
One quick, John, how much new construction do we have this year?
For 2019?
Yeah.
We have 43 new units, I believe.
43. Okay. Go ahead.
Also, I think most of the other categories are self-explanatory. I will just comment on, there's one that's called other revenue, of about almost $53,000. And really the major components there are our ABC revenue that we get, motor vehicle license tax, beer and wine tax, investment income, and surplus property sales. Those five items are about 91% of the total of the other category. We also see a category called other financing sources. That's loans that we are planning to take for capital purchases. And then there's also a small amount under fund balance appropriated of a little over $25,000. That's using just a little bit of our fund balance to balance this budget. It really is only 0.4% of the budget, so very small amount. So what I thought I'd show next is just the percentage of revenue. And I'm comparing actual for 2019, the estimate for the current fiscal year 2020, and then the budget for 2021. And this is slide 8 for anybody following along. It really shows that we're fairly consistent, I guess, with the percentage of revenue. Some of the more significant changes, I mean, you do see some changes in property taxes. That's some of it's what we just talked about with the changes in the estimated tax base. Sales tax, also had shown an increase for 2020, it's actually linked into when we've done property tax increases to change the allocation of sales tax. Some other things under other revenue, we see a spike in 2019 that related to a CAMA grant that we had, and also reimbursements from FEMA for Hurricane Florence. So I'm not sure if anybody has any questions on general fund revenue. Otherwise, we'll move on to the expense side.
Are you comfortable with the sales tax, or would you need?
Well, I will.
Should be a lot more money coming from ABC this year.
I can comment on a couple of things.
Excellent.
This proposal is definitely going to be modified at this point.
The bars aren't open.
Sales tax being one of them. We got our distribution on Friday for the month of March. About $24,000 less than anticipated.
Yep.
And March was probably not the worst month. I would expect April is going to be much worse. There's a 2-month delay in getting the funds. So I would probably be proposing that we change or adjust our projected sales tax a little bit. Mm-hmm. And there may be some other changes also based on new information. Heard somebody say ABC revenue, actually that was way down. What we got where we usually maybe get $1,000 a month, we got $100.
Yeah, bars are closed.
So
people are trying, Jim. Yeah. They're not making it up.
So there's
bars
some
are closed.
Have to
sorry.
Fine-tune a little bit between this point in time and also by the time the budget's approved.
That's about $25,000 a month.
be, it needs to be, you know, I did reduce sales tax to a certain point, but it was even worse than anticipated. And, and sitting in a lot of these calls with colleagues or whatever throughout the state, you know, everybody in kind of the same boat and adjusting as we go forward to, you know, what we figure is going to happen.
I guess I never thought that the bars and the restaurants being closed would have that kind of a big smack, but that's a big number.
Yeah, it was.
And not again, generating.
For the month of March, I mean, for part of the month, the state was operating normal.
Yeah.
So that's why I expect April to see even a larger decrease. Any other questions on revenue?
Good job, Ron.
We'll move on to expenses. On slide 9 is a pie chart that shows the breakdown of expenses by function. I just kind of mentioned that the top five being police department at 28%, public works, streets and sanitation at 17%, fire department at 16%, debt service at 12%, and administration at 9%. So those five functions account for about 82% of the general fund expenditures. There's also a category there called other, with the top three components of that are tax collection expenses we paid in Lanham County, community center costs, and committee costs. Those three account for about 89% of that total category. But also just like to comment on like general fund expenses, that this is where the bulk of the town operations are in general fund. And, you know, so this fund needs to include things, everything for public safety, you know, police, fire, lifeguards, garbage, trash, recycle collection, just general maintenance and upkeep of the town, building inspection, code enforcement, parks and recreation, and general administration, and just kind of like overall town operations. So there was a lot included in these budgets. Mm-hmm. Also just comment the fact that as everybody knows, costs continue to go up, you know, whether it be supplies, materials, purchase services, costs continue to increase, which we'll do, you know, everything we can to manage those costs. We also see a governing body budget, which is the town council budget. Included in there are some contributions we make to outside organizations, including the Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce, the Help Center of Federal Point Historic Preservation Society, Friends of Fort Fisher, and Island of Lights. And those contributions in total are $15,500. The governing body budget also includes $9,875 that has been requested by New Hanover County as Curie Beach's share of the Carolina Beach Inlet Dredging Project. And I'll just kind of summarize this part was saying that the actual operating expense part of the general fund budget is up about 5.5%. I know I said the total general fund budget is up 2.5%, but the actual operating portion of it is up about 5.5%, where the offset being reductions in debt service, transfer to beach protection, and capital outlay. So I'll move on. This slide 10 shows the percentage of expenses by function for, again, comparing the 2019 actual, 2020 estimated, and 2021 budget. And you do see a fair amount of consistency. Where you do see some spikes, in most cases it relates to capital expenditures for a given year. You see like the police department spikes in 2020. There's the town fuel tank was included in the police department. Theirs is a little different. They also had added an employee last year, so that actually caused that spike. But a big chunk of it is the capital expenditure. Also, like streets and sanitation, capital purchases, I believe a dump truck and street sweeper in 2019 that caused a spike there. But otherwise, for the most part, things are fairly consistent. Like I said, the other category, you do see a spike in 2019. They're also related to beach access paving at E&I Avenue. So I don't know if anyone has any questions about the general fund. Otherwise, we'll move on to the water and sewer fund.
Nice job, Ron.
So on slide 11, we have some highlights for the water and sewer fund. So the first one is that this budget does include a proposed 10% increase to the water and sewer usage-based rate tiers for usage above the minimum number of gallons. And we'll cover that in more detail in just a minute. Also about $383,000 for infrastructure projects and equipment capital expenditures. Debt service of about $423,000. And I'll just say that overall this budget, the water and sewer fund is about 8% greater than the 2020 original budget. And the bulk of that increase relates to capital expenditures. We'll move on to slide 12, which shows the breakdown of water and sewer fund revenue. As we would expect, water and sewer fees are the bulk of the revenue. Those two items are about 86% of the fund revenue. The next largest component is a little bit unusual for this year, but it's actual other financing sources, which are installment loans for equipment purchases, since there's some fairly significant equipment purchases included in this water and sewer budget. Then there's some smaller areas, tap and connection and cutoff fees, tap and connection related to building activity. And then there's a category of other revenue, which are things like late fees, new account setup fees, and some other less significant items.
Marlon, debt service in this fund is 423, and the total debt service is what, 710? Is this carrying more debt service because it's directly associated with this fund?
The debt service for this fund is actually, solely relates to water and sewer purchases.
Okay. So it's specific to the fund, that's why it's higher. Okay, got it.
The total, the general fund had, I think it was around $714,000 of debt service. Again, things specifically related to the general fund.
Okay.
There's also debt payments in the stormwater fund, which we'll get to in just a couple of minutes.
I know so many things are split half and half. In this case, it wasn't so.
Right. Okay. This is specifically related to water and sewer operations.
All right. Got it.
So with this, as part of the highlights I mentioned about a proposed increase to water and sewer rates, and I'll start out with just, before we take a look at those, just saying that the Water and Sewer Fund is an enterprise fund, which basically means it needs to be operated like a business. It's specific requirements. So it needs to be supported by the fees and other charges, within that fund. So what does it need to be supported by? It's water and sewer fees. So each time we set a budget for this type of fund, we have to look at a lot of things, not only the day-to-day operating costs, but also what our future capital needs could be, because we need to cover those day-to-day costs in addition to build reserves for future projects. So we will move on to kind of the changes to the rate structure, which are really necessary to support the water and sewer operations. So we'll start with the residential customers, since that's the most significant part of our water and sewer customer base. And I'll start out with just saying we continue to do what we've done in the past, which is to ensure that there's increased financial responsibility for those customers who use the most water sewer resources. So the proposal is to increase the usage-based rate tiers by 10%, and that's only those tiers for over the minimum number of gallons. And the estimate based on history is that it'll impact about 52% of the annual residential billings. So we'll move to slide 14, which continues on with residential, and it might be a little small up there to see, but what this shows is the proposed increase to rates. So anything that's in red is the proposed increase. So for each one of the rate tiers, that represents a 10% increase over the current rate. And you'll see that the minimum charge for, and that's for usage up to 2,000 gallons, remains unchanged. So I think the key thing with this proposal is that if you're a residential customer that uses 2,000 gallons or less, you will see no change to your monthly water and sewer, the water and sewer portion of your monthly bill. I don't know if anyone has any questions on
Just a quick one, Arlen. As I look at that, obviously people can control this themselves, but from 2,000 to 7,000 gallons, do you know how many more people that picks up?
Not right off the top of my head, but I have that data, but I just okay. don't really have it in front of me right now.
Okay, so this does not appear to be a significant blow, which is the only point I'm trying to make.
It depends
on the amount of water you use.
That's right. Yeah. Right. It's a controllable one, but for people that are using a lot of water, so this summer with COVID, maybe I won't use that much water, but if all my kids come back with all our friends in July, my July water bill will go up pretty significant, right? And that is controllable, but they're college kids, so they're not really that controllable necessarily. But
that's really, I was wondering where the impact would be, really would be significantly above the 7,000.
Probably the biggest impact is in the 2,001 to 7,000. I mean, because that's
more of our people, right?
Yep, right. That's more. And as I said on the slide before, on slide 13, that if you want to look at it the other way, 48% of the annual residential billings do not exceed the minimum.
Right.
So there's a large percentage that will not even see any impact from this.
The way you calculate, so let's be clear to those listening, the 48% of residential billings that are impacted, that's all over the year basis. So probably everybody would see something in July, probably.
That's possible, and that's why I call it, annual billing.
That's right. Right. So for those of you out there, if there's someone listening and then you're mad your bill went up, that month you went over 2,000 gallons, right? So 48% over the year doesn't mean that there's almost half of our town that will not see anything. What it does mean is that for half the year, half the people won't see something. Maybe. Everybody's got to look at what they did.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. So to try to help with, what does it mean, I just put up a couple quick examples for residential customers. So on slide 15, I just started out with, and as I said, if you use 2,000 gallons, you see no increase. The next example is if you were to use 5,000 gallons, you would actually see an increase of $3.40, or about 4.8%. On slide 16, there's two other examples of just increasing the amount. So if you were to use 12,000 gallons in a month, you would see an increase of $14.17, or about 7.9%. And the last example is at 18,000 gallons, where you'd see a monthly increase of $29.47, or about 8.9%. And as you go up in usage, that percentage increase is going to start getting closer to 10%.
So 52 should see no increase, and I don't know, maybe 28% would just see a $3.40 increase, basically.
Right. I mean, if we looked at the example of 5,000 gallons, I mean, it would be a $3.40 increase for the month.
Sure.
So I'm okay.
And then right. Move on to commercial customers, and not to spend it, it's the exact same concept. Increase the usage-based rate tiers by 10%. Keep the minimum charge unchanged. So if we move to slide 18, that just gives two examples for a commercial customer. At 20,000 gallons, they would see a monthly increase of $27.84, or about 8.6%. Then for usage of 118,000 gallons, they would see a monthly increase of $198.03, or 9.8%. Again, the more you use, the higher the increase. So. Any questions on commercial customers?
No.
So I'll do the same thing again, same concept for out of jurisdiction, which for us relates to some customers we have in the Fort Fisher area, the aquarium, the Air Force Base, a couple other things. But also to leave the minimum unchanged, but to increase each rate tier by 10%. And there also on slide 20, I've shown two examples. So if a out-of-jurisdiction customer used 20,000 gallons, they would see an increase of $35.63, about 8.5%. Since we have some customers that use a fairly significant amount of water, if they use 350,000 gallons, they would see a monthly increase of $827.61, or just about 10%.
Is that the aquarium?
Well, there's quite a few that use
the and museum.
Right. Yeah. There's quite a few that use a
350,000 gallons a month.
No, that's not on average. You know, that was just a
example. Okay.
Skip
got it.
Slide one.
All right.
So just for council, one issue on this. Joe and I are meeting Thursday with the sewer authority with Carolina Beach. So this may have an issue. We don't know yet. They're telegraphing an increase. Did you look at their data and factor that in? Are we still okay, or this one's got to get changed as well?
Yeah, no, we're still okay.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, there's some ups and downs in that.
I'm going to look at it Wednesday. I haven't had time. But just for council, until we meet and then both councils approve the sewer rates, we don't, this budget assumed a sewer rate. If Arlen says we're still okay, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
We'll still be fine.
So. Okay, good. Then, sorry for the false wording.
So, we'll look for the good deal.
Yeah.
So I don't know if anyone has any questions. That's going to be information on the rate increase for all different customers. So, then we'll just move on. I show some comparative information for the water and sewer revenue. So, again, comparing 2019, 20, and 21. And you see the water and sewer charges, of course, the effect of the increase in the rate increases that we just talked about. Tap and connection fees related, you know, based on estimated building activity. Other revenue, usually some smaller things. For 2019, it included some FEMA reimbursements for Hurricane Florence. And then the other financing that we see at the far right relates to loans for capital purchases. Are there any questions on water and sewer revenue?
Nope.
We'll go to slide 22, which is the water and sewer expenses. So here, as we would expect, the largest component is operations at 79% of the budget. Administration is 11%. Finance is 8%, legal is 1%, and governing body is 1%. When I kind of talked about this budget being up, I believe it was at almost 8%. I will say when we look at solely operating expenses, they're up less than 1%, like 0.7%, so which is really surprising or whatever. But it's the capital expenditures that are a larger increase for this upcoming fiscal year for the need to replace equipment and some infrastructure things.
Good job, Jimmy.
Thank you. Good job, Jimmy. So then we'll move to slide 23, which again shows the comparative information for the water and sewer fund expenses. Most of the departments are very consistent from year to year. The biggest change is operations, and it's really dependent on the amount of maintenance that is projected for any given year, but also, as we just previously talked about, the amount of capital expenditures for a year. So that's why you see the increase for proposed for fiscal year 21. So does anyone have any questions on water and sewer expenses or water and sewer fund in general? Okay, then we will move on to the stormwater fund. And we'll go through the highlights for this fund, which are one, to increase the monthly stormwater fee by 14.8%, which we'll take a look at that in just a minute. This budget includes just about $261,000 for equipment purchases and infrastructure projects, debt service of about $45,500. And then just overall, this budget is just about 59% greater than the 2020 original budget. And really, the biggest change there is capital expenditures. We'll move to slide 25, which shows the stormwater fund revenue budget. And the major, a lot less components here than like the general fund, but the biggest part being the stormwater fees at 51%, stormwater building fees at 11%. And then this year, because there is some significant capital purchases, the other financing sources or loans are about 38% of the budgeted revenue for this fund. So I thought it might be helpful in regard to the stormwater fees to take a quick look at the what's being proposed for the fee increase. So on slide 26, we'll kind of zero in initially on the residential stormwater fee, which currently is $8.71 a month. The proposal is to increase that to $10, which is 14.8% or $1.29 a month. Commercial fees really vary based on the size of the property. So what we would, what's proposed is a 14.8% increase on each one of those fees. And I will just comment that this fee, stormwater fees have not changed in 9 years. So the last change in this fee was in fiscal year 2012.
Plus, we spent $2 million in this area in the last 2.5 years.
Yeah, we have
improving
stormwater
infrastructure.
Infrastructure with some very significant projects that we were able to do without borrowing money.
Yep. Lining pipes, adding pipes.
Right.
Yep. Just, it, all of it was to the benefit of the town. So.
So does anybody have any question on the proposed stormwater increase? So then move to slide 27, which just shows some comparative information for stormwater fund revenue. With the stormwater fees, again, you see the increase for the projected increase for 2021 based on what we just talked about, the fee increase. Stormwater building fees, again, based on building activity, can fluctuate greatly from year to year. We do see that in 2019, we had almost $80,000 in reimbursements from FEMA related to Hurricane Florence. This fund, you also see, as the mayor had mentioned, we've done some significant projects. So you see that we've actually used some of the fund balance in fiscal year 19 and projected to use some in this current fiscal year. So that's the appropriated fund balance category. And then finally, the other financing sources are loans, and we do anticipate a fairly sizable loan in the upcoming fiscal year for a piece of equipment. So any questions on stormwater fund revenue? So we'll just take a again, similar look at the stormwater fund expenses. So here we see that operations is about 42% of the budget, debt service at about 9%, and capital outlay or capital expenditures at 49%. Again, a little bit different than in prior years that the capital expenditures are that high, but again, it's related to the purchase of a significant piece of equipment. So slide 29 shows the comparative information that it may seem unusual that operations is actually dropping when you look at 19, 20, and then 21. But that's really because in fiscal years 19 and 20, they had some significant repair and maintenance costs associated with first Hurricane Florence and then Hurricane Dorian. Debt service, you see, it's projected to have a significant decrease in 2021, and that's because a loan for cutter cord infrastructure that I believe was done about 15 years ago is paid off next month. So we see that sizable decrease. And then capital outlay, again, can vary from year to year. As you see, in 2019, we had equipment purchases, but more significantly, infrastructure projects. And then for 2021, again, significant equipment purchase and also some potential infrastructure projects also. So any questions about the stormwater fund? So this last slide, slide 30, just kind of summarizes the other four remaining funds, the smaller funds within the town. First being the Powell Fund, which is basically the way we account for money that we receive from the North Carolina Department of Transportation. That's what's considered restricted use fund. It could, funds that can only be used for street repairs, maintenance, construction, that type of thing. So we're budgeting $110,000 for this upcoming year, which includes the revenue source for that is about $65,000 in estimated allocation from the Department of Transportation. I will say that's another category I may have to go back and look at because I've seen something recently that said that could be reduced by 15 to 25%.
Yeah, that's so, off gas taxes and those
well, problems. Well, it's mm-hmm. not it's not on the gas tax. That probably changed was. About 5 years ago. It's oh. now an appropriation from the state general fund.
Wow,
but
okay.
There is discussion out there at this point that it could see a 15 to 25% reduction.
Well, so what the general legislature did is they took the gas taxes and then they made an appropriation because they wanted some of the money. But it's still based off gas taxes, just not directly.
Well, they took an amount that they had about 5 years ago and they kind of kept it consistent. So if it,
right.
I forget what it is for statewide, but pretty right. much they make the appropriation exact same amount that was 5 years ago.
Yeah, and then they keep the extra gas taxes, but now that went the wrong way, no one knows what the legislature is going to do.
Right. So this is another fund that may have to be looked at.
We
do have project, part of that $110,000, I believe is about $90,000 in paving projects.
Yep.
So again, we may have to, you know, once we get into the next fiscal year, look at the timing of things or whether we need to delay them or
exactly them. Right. That's good.
Mm-hmm. So any questions on the
how bill? does that come out quarterly? Is that how power bill is paid?
It's paid semi-annually.
Semi-annually, so twice a year, so you'll know is it July and December or?
Well, it's a little bit weird. We get it I think at the end of September and the end of December. So it's not really it's not every 6 but that's
really
the way they're
okay.
It, right.
So we'll find out September. Okay.
And something that I just recently seen said to kind of expect a 15 to 25%.
Good job here, Arlen. I know it's hard for the people on the phone to understand that there's a general fund accounts, then there's accounts that are need to pay for themselves, that's separate, and then there's accounts that can only be spent on certain things, and that all gets fogged up in this thing. But I wanted to make one other comment, and that is I'm looking at the status of the current budget. We only have 6 weeks left, right?
Right.
On this budget.
Right.
You're all doing a fine job. Let's keep it up. We're actually in the general fund. We should come in, unless you're going to shock me, we should come in pretty well.
Yeah, we should be in good shape. Again, we're going to see some reductions of, you know, again, the rest of our right. sales tax, you know, will be right. kind of less than we had hoped for. But things like property tax, that's pretty much been fully collected,
mm-hmm.
except for motor vehicles, which are done as part of the annual registration process. But so we've received the bulk of our property tax funds at this point. And there's a few other weird things at this point in relation to the current year. For example, our TDA funding, I guess we kind of got caught in them. We had submitted a number of requests over $200,000 worth.
We'll be getting
that then the meeting stopped because of the pandemic, and so they kind of got hung up right at this point. So hopefully we will receive those funds, you know, before the end of the fiscal year, if not, I'm sure, early in the next month.
That's a good point. I need to make sure we get that money before we go in a new budget.
And I'll just, the last couple, you know, federal asset forfeiture fund, again, restricted use money that kind of under the control of the police chief, that's really related to the police department's participation in some federal agency investigations, and our share of those proceeds cannot be used as regular operating expenses, but more, you know, special type of expenditures. Sewer expansion reserve fund for not just sewer expansion, but to be repairs for the sewer system. Really, the main funding source is new construction and what's called a system development fee, the main source of revenue. And then finally is the beach protection fund that was started back in 2014, which is really for any, at that point it was the uncertainty around beach nourishment being paid for by the federal and state government or their share of it, and whether the need for us to start to build a reserve in case the town actually had to contribute. So we've been doing that since 2014. The main revenue source there is a transfer from the general fund of $5,000. The rest is fund investment income. So that's kind of all the funds. And I'll just say I want to thank, you know, all the department heads here for all the work that they did in this process, and council. You know, everybody contributed to the process, and it's a quite an involved process, and this year's even more difficult than a lot of other years just because there's so many unknowns. And, you know, I will say there's most likely going to be some adjustments to what was presented right now to what the final budget is going to look like. So.
But you put it right here at press, right? So you're ready to put it
here? Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, yes. We just need to work through a couple things. Fine-tune sales tax is probably the bigger item that's open, and if need be, I mean, it would probably increase our appropriation of fund balance, and you know, that would be the more conservative way to approach it, I think.
Harlan, are you hearing any talk about the state government helping us with the sales tax? Aren't there some rumblings that there may be some stuff to help the local governments out?
I mean, there's definitely discussions going on, and I know the League of Municipalities is, you know, definitely lobbying for that, but I don't think there's anything definite at this point. I mean, there was the CARES Act money, but none of that was to cover shortfalls in revenue by local government. But there's discussion going on, so that is at some point maybe a possibility, but I'm not ready at this point.
Okay.
So I don't know if anyone has any questions about the proposal.
I think it's great, and Councilor, you guys ready for a motion to post it? Let's see what citizens say.
I guess a question I have before we do that. Harlan, is June 8th a good, I mean, is that that's a typical time we do this, or but do you need extra time because
And we got to the end of June to adopt the budget.
I would hope we'd see a little more data by then. I would think we would be okay to move forward at that point. And that's really the public hearing portion of it. I mean, we really won't vote on the budget until June 15th.
Okay, so if we have a public hearing on the 8th, and then we get some really bad news before the end of the month, do we have to have another public hearing, or could we just adjust?
We can adjust
our number without having another
public hearing. And even at the public hearing, I would be able to show any changes between what we just talked about right now and where we are at that point.
Yeah, the only time I've ever dealt with a major change is we had a huge water customer that filed for bankruptcy 2 days before the budget.
Right.
It was a dye plant for the textile industry when I was in Ashburn. I mean, they had to go back in. I mean, they lost the revenue there in the water and sewer fund. Yep. But I couldn't remember whether we had another public hearing or not.
No, we won't have to.
Okay.
I mean, even if you're fine with that.
If you're comfortable with the 8th, I'm
good. Yeah, I think, and that gives us the amount of time that it has to be publicized before they, and it also gives them a little bit of time between the public hearing and then what hopefully the final adoption.
Yeah, we'll adopt it a week later.
Okay. Good job. And I guess we just need to set the public hearing.
Yeah, so I make a motion we direct the town clerk to advertise the proposed budget and set the public hearing for June 8th, 2020 at 6 p.m.
Second.
Finance officer's recommendation.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. What else you got, Arlen?
So one other item was, I guess, early on in the emergency meetings, council voted to suspend commercial garbage charges because the businesses were not active at that point.
We had a request for the businesses,
right?
For relief.
Right. And I guess what I'm recommending now is that we reinstate that, but effective with the bill that will go out at the end of June. And what that does, it actually then, if we want to look at the period of time it covers, it really covers mid-May to mid-June. Is the way we consider that, but it's the way the water and sewer charges function, so we also then consider the garbage collection the same way. So we've really kind of then fall into place now where things are starting to open up again, so it seemed to make sense, at least to me, to kind of do that.
So I'll make a motion we follow the finance officer's recommendation and restart charging for trash pickup at the end of June billing cycle.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks for keeping on that list, Harlan.
Yeah. Good pickup there. Thank you, Harlan.
Yes.
Nice job. A lot to digest, but it's a culmination of a lot of work. Fire department.
No updates, sir.
No updates? Okay. Police department.
Good evening. I just got a couple of quick things, I think. We had a concerned citizen come to us about a intersection at 3rd and I. There's been a couple of accidents there. She was involved in, or her daughter was involved in two or one, and she was involved in one. In the past, we've roped it off at the end of it to get better visibility. We've also torn out a huge bush for better visibility. We've been out there looking at it, trying to figure out what the best ideas were. A couple of neighbors came out, talked to us, said they'd love to see a four-way stop sign there. We've done a few things to try to help out. It is very busy with people parking on I Avenue. It's kind of hard to see. I hate to see somebody get hit walking or anything like that. So I suggest we put two more stop signs on I Avenue and make it a four-way stop, and hopefully that'll end the problem if you guys are.
Is it roped off enough where people can What am I trying to say?
When they have clear visibility.
Have clear visibility, yeah, line of sight.
Yeah, if they're walking, yes. Should be okay, but part of the problem is it's a median. People park there, and before there was a bush, and you would stop and keep going on 3rd Avenue, north or south, and somebody going east or west on the avenue would not see anybody coming and just plow into them. And we've had some pretty good wrecks there. Not a ton, but pretty good wrecks there. I think it would benefit the town to go ahead and do it and hopefully make it a little safer.
Your recommendation, Chief, is the chief officer in charge of traffic is how we do this?
Yes, sir.
Are there any questions for Chief? I know we've had some concerned citizens talk about it before.
Do we have any other four-way stops? I know we have three-way stops down Fifth. I should know that, but I just don't know.
I don't think there's anything on I or Third there. I think it's all two-way.
Right. I was just wondering for interest. I'm supportive of the Chief's recommendation.
I'm fine with it.
Make a motion we approve the Chief's request and direct Public Works to install stop signs on East and West on I Avenue at 3rd Avenue.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Next thing, just want to let you guys know the gas tank is in. I'm sure y'all have seen it. It's coming along. There's a few more things we have to do, the curbing, the bollards, and fencing and wiring to complete it. We hope it's supposed to be done before the end of May. So we're very hopeful for that. I'm guessing awesome. Waiting on weather for the curbing to be done. Concrete work, so that's coming up very soon. So we should be ready for hurricane season. I don't want to say that.
Now, do we have to schedule a fill for this thing, or you just call?
We'll schedule the first one when it's done, when it's completed, and then there's a monitoring system inside of it, and the gas company will keep us posted on the best time to buy gas and when we get one.
Good time to fill it now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Harlan, are we ready for whatever payments we have to make to the state? Do we have to pay the gas tax, I assume, as a town?
That's all handled by the...
The gas company takes care of it for us? Good. That's good. Awesome.
Excellent.
The other thing is we were contacted by Wilmington Police Department about their helicopter unit, Sable. They would like for us to start using their helicopter if we have water rescues, missing children, anything like that, and it would benefit us. It doesn't cost us a dime. It's primarily for them to get federal funding, the more agencies you have involved in it. I know they were working with Wrightsville Beach Ocean Rescue this week or last week, I'm not sure, on water rescues and stuff like that to help those guys out. We've used them for missing persons before in a buffer zone. It also comes, I hate to say comes with, but it also has the potential for us to use 4 drones throughout the county and city, which would be helpful for locating missing persons or any type of stuff like that. So I talked to the attorney earlier today. We really don't have to do anything. We're under the umbrella of the Sheriff's Department. So again, it won't cost us a dime. All we have to do is pick up the phone and call. And they'll be here in 7 minutes, he said.
Does that have any cost to the rescue for the individuals?
No, sir.
And we don't need an interagency agreement or anything?
We have one with the Sheriff's Department.
Already, so it's under that one?
It just falls under their umbrella.
So it's just changing your SOPs and the fire department's supposed to rescue SOPs to call for it, I assume?
Yes, sir. And I can call for it, or the guys can call for it. They don't want us wasting time if there's a missing person or ocean rescue. They don't want us wasting time calling supervisors. Unless that's our SOP, they just want the individual officer to call if they need it. And
that's they're awesome.
More than willing to come out. So,
I mean, if it means that we can save more lives, absolutely. They should know we're not going to wait for them. Ed's not going to wait till they show up. He'll be out in the water.
No, it would be more for helping out with,
right?
You know, if you need to get find somebody, like I said, missing person, or God forbid, somebody drowns, maybe helping out find that person.
You guys have less than a 3-minute response.
So, I'm not big on getting in the water, but
yeah, okay.
We need to look at security lights under our pavilion. in the alcove of the restrooms underneath there. We're having a problem with people urinating in the alcoves. So I'd like to work with an electrical company or somebody to get a quote for putting security lights that pop on and off. We have cameras underneath there, but it's usually somebody not from here. Unless you guys want to look at a different option of wall.
So the lights are already in the alcoves. Can you just put motion detectors on?
I don't think there's lights in the alcove. There are.
Yeah. So there can lights up in
there. Maybe we can just, I don't know how.
Well, you might need to put some, they're not very bright.
Yeah, we'd have to change them out probably.
Would there be a motion sensor?
Put new ones in.
Right.
So, in the past, we've looked at prohibiting guns on town property. I'd like to go back and look at that issue. I think we were working on it, or you were working on it with the town attorney.
Yeah, I mean, that's an excellent point there, Chief, because we have talked about this several times, and actually we're going to take, I'm pretty sure we actually voted on this. But in any case, Andy, can we did not. We did not?
No, we didn't.
I would like to get it on the... Okay. If the council's in agreement, I'd like to get it on the consent agenda for the next meeting. This is just the state statute, exactly as it's written.
Yeah, it's just in buildings, correct?
Just town-owned buildings, yes, sir.
Yep.
And that will be it, just to keep somebody not, here, hopefully.
Not parks, not anything else, just the buildings.
Just the town-owned buildings.
And it puts us in line with everyone else in the county, as far as I understand, right?
Yes, sir.
So we're the last one, as always, right?
Yes, always.
That's not always a bad thing.
No.
It's been around for a good, that ordinance has been around for a pretty good while.
And all we'd have to do is post it on every entrance and every building that we look at.
Yes, sir.
The next thing is a talk with Commissioner Hagler.
One point. So, are we in? We have consensus. We want to go to the consent agenda next time.
Yes.
All right. You each have a chance to read it before we accept it. So, okay. Can we get that done, Andy? Please.
More than just guns, it was weapons.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We need to read it, but we need to get in a consent agenda. We've been messing with it for 8 months. Or more. So,
The other thing is, I talked with Commissioner Hagler about parking. I'd like to look at potentially hiring Lanier parking or Reed parking. They're coincided for Saturdays and Sundays of every weekend until Labor Day, and have those guys help us out with parking throughout the town. And every one of our parking ordinances, try to get those guys to do that. We probably have to work, obviously have to work with the town attorney to try to figure that out. But.
Well, I would say not just our accesses, but also parking on private property if someone calls.
Yes,
to help you out, because after what we saw this past weekend, I think we're going to have an issue, and having an enforcement presence will be preventative until we figure out what we're going to do about parking. So when the chief and I talked about it, kind of my point is get the quote and see what it is, and then work with the finance officer to bring it to council.
Well, we can cancel it within 48 hours, right?
Our current one, yes, sir.
Yeah.
And I would just like to look at the every weekend.
Yeah,
I think it's a smart plan to have in place.
Well, July 4th is on a Saturday. I would recommend Friday the 3rd to Monday the 6th.
For that weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Saturday, sir?
Primarily Saturday, Sunday. We're pretty well staffed Monday through Friday with myself and Lieutenant Miljundic. I don't mind writing parking tickets. I go out and do it. I do it. I did it last weekend. I don't mind doing it, but the one guy couldn't handle it this weekend by himself. There was just no way. Like I said, it was $5 writing parking tickets, and it was overwhelming at times, and it was.
No.
Comical at times, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all we talked about on the street. I think give the budget information, and I think council, we need to consider it strongly and just figure out with Arlen what it does. It's not going to, I don't think it's going to be huge amounts of money based off what we've been looking at, but I think it's the right thing to do for our police department, and the town's going to have more pressure. I think a lot of people that would never have came to Curie Beach came this past weekend, and when they realized, hey, it's pretty nice, hey, parking we don't have to pay for right now, we're going to see them again, and they need to at least understand if you park on private property, you park outside of a marked space, you're going to get a really big fine. And that'll help dissuade some of them. So.
And the only other thing I have is the Marines will be here training on the air base in the middle of June. Lots of noise, helicopters, boats, firing blanks, and all kinds of good stuff. So it will be loud, and we just need to post it, I guess, on our website. And Mandy's already aware.
Do we have dates for that?
Right now it's June 13th through 15th.
13th through 15th?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So it should be pretty loud, and it's going to be at night, so.
Just like they did a couple years ago?
Yep.
But it's going to be probably longer than that. I don't think that one would last very long.
It's 2 days, isn't it?
I guess they don't have a problem with us telling the folks to expect.
Well, that's why they wanted to let us know. Yeah. Hey, there's going to be a lot of noise. They're going to be firing blanks. There's actually some other stuff they're going to be doing. And if you see it or hear it.
Yep. Yeah, we better tell folks. You don't want anybody meeting them on the beaches.
Yeah, I got a few texts with the helicopters over the houses last time they did it. So.
Okay.
And that's all I have, unless you guys have any questions or anything.
Nope.
Have y'all heard from the development the base up?
I have not. I have
just the Air Force Base?
Yeah.
Friday morning.
Yeah.
Posted Friday morning.
Are they going to open it this Friday morning?
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
They're
well.
Taking reservations. They said they start taking reservations Friday.
Okay, thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Excellent job, Chief.
Public Works. Anything, Jimmy?
Good late afternoon, Council.
Good late afternoon.
There's a couple updates I'd like to give Council on. The first off would be the courtesy pickup this year. I just want to thank the residents for the cooperation and for this year's pickup. I feel like it went well with all the changes that the town made. As for the cost, in 2018, just the haul off and disposal fee was $10,549 and was 104.2 tons of yard debris and miscellaneous. This year, with the new guidelines and the call-in for the pickup, the total was 33 tons.
Wow. One-third
with the cost of $659. But this does not include the labor or the equipment that we used. So just averaging everything up, we pretty much saved the town right around $20,000 this year on this pickup.
Good job by the citizens. Good job by you too, Jimmy, helping us figure out how we save the money.
Yeah, actually went fairly well. Me and Robin and the guys at the department were talking about, you know, different things, but for, you know, this just being a first time thing, you know, changes are, you know, are great, but this really helped out this year, you know. Also, I got the stormwater assessment from LDSI this past week, last week, and I'm going over it now, and I've talked to David about it. I'll send a copy to each one of the council members, and so y'all can look at it also, and then we'll maybe discuss it in the June meeting, and also discuss the five things that the state pinged us on for the stormwater management plan.
Right.
But other than that, that's what I have tonight.
Okay. Any questions for Jimmy? Thanks, Jimmy.
Jimmy, I think it's a great idea tracking the houses, the house numbers, and when people call in and stuff. You know that it's calling in, and I think that was a really good idea.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Nikki out there?
No updates.
No updates. Thank you, Nikki. I did see the plan for the reopen, though.
Yeah, that's
thank you.
Yeah, the reintroduction plan was part of the consent agenda, so thank you guys for moving forward cautiously with those programs.
It's part of the packet, I guess. You're probably part of that, Alan?
Okay.
Okay, so looks like a nice plan. We can go over it in some detail later. Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you.
stormwater update, or is...
Yeah, so Jimmy gave my basic update. The report we got from LDS, I'll be sharing with the council later this week. Please look through it. Jimmy and I have got some questions to send back. There were 5 recommendations that we will cover in depth at the June meeting. And then we'll work to build, okay, what's the cost of these recommendations and are they valuable to the town, and then we'll prioritize them.
Okay.
And then separately, I've had 2 communications of people that are representing their HOAs. There'll be a email going out to all the HOAs that own a pond at the end of this week that they need to provide a volunteer from their home as a homeowners association representative if they own a wet pond in town to be on our stormwater committee. The state extended the time because of the COVID-19 on responding back to the letter that we got in February, and we responded to it in March. So Public Works is still working on that. That'll come at the June meeting as well. So it'll be stormwater and budget at June.
All right. A lot of good stuff going on. Deck construction and setback at 309. John, you're up.
I received a request from Jeff and Lisa Lepo at 309 Settlers Lane on April 27th. I forwarded that to council on April 30th for your review. And after receiving some comments, I asked if Commissioner Whitley wanted to see that on the agenda. So once you see it in front of you, it's on the agenda. This is a packet that the Lepos put together with a description of what they're doing along with a site map. Along Settlers Lane, we have a 20, 25, and a 30-foot easement, depending on where you're at. The purpose of that easement is for utilities. I'm not sure that we use all of it. I know we use some of it for some stormwater. This is something the town council has approved before. The most recent being July 22nd, 2015, town council permitted a 7x13 deck to go into the easement area that was freestanding, and the builder at the time agreed with town council that it could be removed at any time for any reason. The Lepos have already outlined an agreement and signed it, taking that responsibility on them. So I really don't have a viewpoint either way, just that I don't think we're really using that easement, and council's done it in the past.
Jimmy, that easement, are we using it?
Not at the moment. There's no stormwater in the backside there, but further on down, Settlers, there is stormwater.
Right.
But in that section there, we were talking about possibly putting stormwater
so that
in the fire lane.
Where the it is, it would be north then, on down.
That's correct.
Yeah.
The other, okay.
Yes.
Right, okay. Just want to make sure.
Around Largo.
And so on their agreement, did they have a timeliness in their agreement to remove it? I mean, I hope we never have to put anything back there, but I'm not sure where in my packet I tried to find it.
They just said that they'd be happy to remove it at their own expense. I'm pretty certain if we needed to get back there, well, we've got plenty of room, first of all, to remove if we need to.
Right. No, I understand. And non-attached decks, you just pick them up and move them. So according to, well, you might have to cut the pilings, but Andy, in 2015 or earlier, did we put time requirements on that, or we just left it more open-ended?
Well, I think it'd be good to have a time requirement because you never know.
I mean, I don't think it's not going to be an urgent time requirement.
No.
Probably it would be, you know, 30 or 60 days, because
it would be the same
way
we did on the ocean front.
Which, what was the timeliness on the ocean front?
30 days.
30 days. I mean, if you could ask, I'm in favor of it, just like it was in 2015, I guess, but I think there should be a time requirement on there. 30 days is fine with me. That would be plenty of time if we had a project for it to happen in.
I think the Lepos are on the phone, if they want to comment on anything.
Well, one point before we do that, because that's a good point. Have we given an easement, I mean, have we given authority for this to anybody else in that area?
Yes, sir.
Yes,
neighbors.
Neighbors.
Yeah. If you can, I visited the site the other day.
And you can look down the backyard and you can tell where, you can see where they've encroached. One's a new house. Was that new house about
right?
New
house. Was what?
Yep.
So. Yeah, and we've had to move decks back there further up because of the stormwater issues when we worked. Jimmy, was that how long ago? Are you still here?
No, he just left.
But,
he can just walk up.
So I'm fine with it as long as people recognize if we have to get there, it's a town easement.
Well,
we're not giving up our easement.
The questions that I had were answered, and I'm fine with it. Yeah. The lefos are fine. They know what.
Okay, well, sounds like everybody's fine with it. Let's have a motion.
Well, let's. Are they still
okay
on the phone?
With the time requirements.
Yeah, let's make sure that they're okay with the time. Jeff and Lisa, y'all still on the phone?
You have to *6 to get off mute.
This is Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, sir.
Hi.
Good evening, everybody.
Sorry for taking up your whole evening.
Thank you. And I just want to comment that the whole, if you look down on the easement, there is so much stuff going on the easement. And probably town hall entirely. But, I mean, we've already recognized that the new business is that if there's any need for there to be work in that meeting. And that's fine.
Is a 30-day removal agreeable to you?
Oh, absolutely. This is moving by 16 days.
Okay. We'd have to get that in writing, of course. But,
yeah.
We need to add it to that agreement.
We add it to that agreement, and if you're agreeable to that, then we can make a motion and get this moving forward for you.
Yeah.
So I make a motion. We approve deck construction and the setback at 309 Settlers Lane.
With
the agreement, sorry, yeah, that it would be removed within 30 days of that addendum to the agreement.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Where is it?
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, enjoy that deck.
Y'all have a good evening.
Aye.
Good evening.
I got everything. I mean, if I provide the written agreement for 50 days tomorrow, proceed with buying building materials.
Yes, we've given the building inspector approval. Once he has a signed agreement, then he'll do the next step so you can start your construction. Yes, sir. So he has the authority.
Okay.
For
that.
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
You good with that, John?
Yes, sir. Do you want it notarized?
Just however you do with all groups, so I say yes.
Yeah. And
So Jeff and Lisa, if you guys could edit that agreement to add 30 days to it and also have it notarized.
They might not still be calling you tomorrow.
They'll call you. All right.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John. If the department heads are finished, they could go. It's been a long day. It's 8:30 almost. Proposed amendments to article the personnel policy. So, Mandy, that's you.
It's Nancy.
Sorry?
Nancy's on the line.
Oh, is Nancy on the line? Nancy, can you hear us?
Good evening, can you hear me?
We sure can, loud and clear.
Can you pass it out?
Okay.
It's quite an echo. Proposed amendment to 5 articles in the personnel policy is part of my project.
Yes.
In my opening statement, I clarify that I have not ascertained any policy. Reworded and clarified to provide better guidance. for staff using the policy. I did add a definition for personnel officer, and I gave you an explanation in my memo about that also. And then my recommendation is for council, the attorney and department head to review this and provide any questions or clarifications or edits. Or I can, was willing to meet if anyone wants to meet.
Okay.
With the intent of adopting at the chief council meeting.
Okay. Mandy, is there any particular way you'd like to handle this? I've read through this.
I would just like the other department heads to take a look at it.
Yeah, okay. That's what I was going to ask.
That's a good point.
Give them a quick second to go through it and look at it and see if they have any suggestions. I've had a couple of comments, and I knew that Nancy was working on the policy, so I referred them to her with their thoughts or suggestions. I don't know if they've reached out to her, but I would like them to take a look at it because this is what she's editing is something that's very, that we use. So we want to make sure that they're good with it too. Yeah.
Personally, I didn't see any particular issues in there. I thought there were some good added things, but you're right. Department heads should take a look at it. So she has executed her portion of this until we get back to her.
Yes.
So are you going to take...
I will send it out.
Okay,
I'll
take the lead and get that out. Okay.
Nancy, this is John. Do you have it in front of you?
Yes.
On page 3, the paragraph that starts unlawful workplace.
Yes.
In the second line of that, after the word race, there needs to be a comma. I know that's nitpicky, but I actually read through it, so that's...
Okay, you're right. Thank you.
Critic, I read it pretty close, and I like what I read. I want to read it again, but I think given the grievance procedures and the and what you do to due process for an employee for being disciplined or even terminated is what we need. So,
it definitely fleshes out much better than we have
it does,
today.
It does.
Yes.
And Nancy has a good job. Good job. Mm-hmm.
Clears up a lot of gray.
Yeah, to make her know.
Yeah. Yes.
I just received this today, or this evening, so I haven't had a chance to really review it.
We're not going to bring it forward for approval until June.
Yeah, we're not approving it tonight. The department has haven't seen it either, except for Andy. Andy, does this have the timing on suspensions in here? I looked, but I didn't find it. Or is that in a separate part?
No.
So I want to make sure we fix that.
It still leaves it 3 days.
It's still at 3 days.
Okay.
And,
3 days.
Yeah, Nancy, I don't know if she can hear me or not. Let me go to Nancy.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, one thing that we talked about with those is maybe increasing it and giving the department head the authority to go up to 5. Is that possible?
Sure. I mean, council policy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was just what I was looking for.
Can we just make it a period of 3, 2, 5 days?
Yeah, it should be 3, 2, 5 days.
Yeah,
maximum
3.
Minimum
3, maximum 5. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a minimum now. I don't think there's a minimum now.
But let's see what the department heads say. They may have another view on that.
Yeah. Now, one, I appreciate all the work.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see what the department is and the attorney have to say. It looks like it worked.
Yep. Thank you, Nancy. Any other questions for Nancy?
Sure.
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
9.3.
Hurricane 9.3.
Yeah, so as everyone knows, it's hurricane season. We're almost actually hadn't officially started yet, but we're in the part of our emergency operations plan where we look at the emergency operations plan and make changes to it. I submitted changes to council after working with the department heads, which were really around two things. One, how we've changed issuing our decals, if you looked at it closely. And the second was to add in the impact of COVID-19 and to shelters, which is undefined by the state and county at this point.
Right.
So we will be changing it again, but those are the big changes that I proposed, if you saw them today. And then secondly, I'd like council's permission to schedule our question and answer sessions with the citizens for their hurricane preparedness. Because of COVID-19, I'm going to work with Mandy to record the presentation, put it out on our website, and then communicate that to citizens. And then after it's been up for a week, have a question and answer where I'll be here and let people do the call in like we're doing now after they've had a chance to see the presentation. So that's kind of the proposal to council for that communication requirement. I'm looking for you guys to say that's okay or not. That's my plan.
It's a necessity.
So we'll be recording later this week, and then get it up there.
And yeah, we'll see. I just wanted to add to what you were saying that once we post it on the website, we're going to also make it a point that it highlights at the top of town news at least once a week as our constant reminder through the season.
But as you guys are aware of, we had a tropical depression go by.
Right.
In fact, we had great waves from it today. And so obviously, they're starting the season early. Stephen Stills with New Hanover County Emergency Management said that he had updates pending for approval that will tell us more about what's going to happen with shelters and stuff like that. My encouragement to any citizens listening in, you know, I'll highlight this very strongly in our presentation, is you should have multiple places to go already in your plan, and recognize that if you're counting on a shelter in New Hanover County, they probably, with the space requirements he's talking about, I don't know that they're going to find enough buildings with COVID-19. So I hope all of our citizens have friends, family, or hotels in multiple cities to already plan out in their plan, because I would not plan to go to a shelter with COVID-19. And I don't know that they're going to have enough space, so I'm not sure how they're going to deal with that. They're trying to figure it out right now.
And unfortunately, there's the group of people who don't really have good homes or good transportation or right. things, and they will be in desperate need of that. Let's hope this is not a tough year with getting supplies, tough year with places to stay, because we do have mandatory evacuation at 2 and 3.
At 3, 4, 5.
Okay.
Voluntary at 1 and 2.
Voluntary 1 and 2?
Yeah.
Okay. I must have read that wrong today.
I'll go back and look at it, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
It is.
Then voluntary 1 and 2.
Okay.
1 and 2, yeah.
Ever since I read it in 2000. I'm not sure. I didn't change that part, so someone else may have changed it and I missed it. But.
Okay.
No, but anyway, so I guess I just need council consensus to film the presentation. I'll make sure you guys look at it so it looks good. I'm not a film star, right? So Mandy and I will be learning. And then with that, council's permission to schedule a Q&A session a week after we get that posted sometime in May.
John,
I don't have the date yet.
Yes or no?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Alan?
Oh yeah, it's fine.
Joseph, I'd at least do two Q&As.
Okay,
yeah.
Two. Okay.
Yes.
Two.
Set up a program as you wish to communicate it, and we will support it.
And I'll email you so you guys can look at it before, and then work with you guys on the dates. But I won't maybe not have permission to go ahead and do that.
When we run it on the website, also I was gonna put in there any questions. You can email the town clerk. And
exactly.
So they have a couple of ways
options.
To contact.
Okay.
Okay.
That's all I have, sir.
All right. Mayor updates. I think there's been plenty of mayor updates in the last month. Same with emergency manager. But Any commissioner updates? Let's start with you, John. Anything?
No, nothing.
Alan?
Yes, sir.
Joseph?
I think we have to do the Land Use Planning Committee, where we will start out with the Land Use Planning Committee of myself, Alan Oliver, John Batson as the town employee, Craig Galbraith from P&Z, and also Tony Garaby, who served on the Board of Adjustments for years to bring his experience in on it.
Well, he's on P&Z.
He's on P&Z now, yeah. We will also, we're going to meet the second Tuesday of the month, so we will meet in June. At that time, we will decide how to do the two citizen slots on there, whether we bring them in or do it over the phone, whatever we do for the applications to bring citizen involvement in.
Okay.
Do we need to vote on that, on the members, or just everything?
And you did name each member and the time of the meeting each month in a motion.
Okay. I make a motion that we appoint myself, Joseph Whitley, Alan Oliver, John Batson, Craig Galbraith, and Tony Garaby to the Land Use Plan Committee. We will meet each as needed the second Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m., of course, depending on how things play out over the next 10 to 12 months.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. How about consensus, Joseph? I mean the census, not consensus. Census.
Anybody's listening, if you've not taken, I think we're at 31.5% right now.
31.5%. How much longer do we have?
Till July 1st, I believe.
When do they start contacting the individual properties?
I think they were out here today from when somebody texted me that somebody was banging on their door.
Honest to goodness, if we don't do the census, we don't deserve the representation.
Yeah. Is it percentage of every address?
What do you mean?
Is that 31%?
31% of the people that say the Curry Beach is their primary residence have responded.
Okay.
In North Carolina's, I think, around 54%, somewhere around.
What does it take? 15 minutes?
Six minutes.
It's fast.
Five minutes. Takes 5 minutes.
Yeah. 5 minutes. I'm not in less than 5 minutes.
And we're linked off of our town website, right? So if you don't know where to go,
it's
on
the header. Yeah, it's on the
header.
That's what I thought. I thought it was.
Please take the time while you're staying at home and get this thing done.
Right.
Or you won't have much to say about legislation. I don't know, David, did you have any commissioner?
No, sir, plenty.
Okay. All right. I need a motion to move to closed session.
Make a motion we move into closed session.
Move to closed session for a personnel matter.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We return to open session.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So
okay. Now I need a
synopsis. So
yes,
at closed session, a personnel issue was discussed and council gave guidance to the appropriate department head.
And maintenance.
Maintenance?
A maintenance contract on...
Just we gave appropriate guidance to the department head.
Okay. All right. I'm fine with that.
I make a motion we close the May meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.